We'll begin reading in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, first of all, heaven is a real place. John says, I saw in verse 1. And in verse 2, the Bible says, John saw these things, and he relates them to us under the inspiration of God. And so heaven's a real place. And just as this town is a real place, or this state is a real place, heaven is a real place. We're going to have a real body in heaven, glorified bodies. Jesus rose from the dead in his glorified body. He could pass through walls, yet sit down and eat. Not only that, but heaven is a remaining place. Verse 1 says, passed away. Nothing that you see in this world is going to last. Everything's going to be gone. Nothing is permanent in this world. So we should not become too attached to things. Certainly we all like to have nice things. We like to have nice cars. We like to have nice homes, nice clothing. But the key is not to become too attached to these things, because they're only temporary. Everything you see is just temporary. The only thing that's going to last is our souls and whatever we send ahead to heaven. Heaven's a remaining place. There's a hypothetical illustration given of two women. Both of them were Christian women. One was very wealthy, and she had a maid which was not making much money, of course. But these two women, the rich woman, she just gave grudgingly. She would not be so happy about giving if she had to give. She was the kind of person that would just put a dollar in a plate every time that came by. She thought she was doing God a favor by doing that. And the maid, however, enjoyed giving. She didn't have much money, but she looked for opportunities to give. These two women died, and an angel came up and said, My job is to show you your new home, and so just follow me. And so they took off down the road, the maid and the rich woman and the angel. Oh, they passed a curve, and up on the hill there on the curve was a big, big, beautiful mansion. And the rich woman said, I'm sure that's for me. Yes, yes, that's for me. The angel says, I'm sorry, no, it's not for you. This is for your maid. This is for my maid? Man, if this is for my maid, I can't wait to get to my place. So they went on down the road a little further, and the angel stopped beside a cardboard shanty. And the angel says, well, this is your place. This is your place, to the rich woman. And the angel says, we did the best we could with what you sent ahead. Every stain of sin, every evidence of evil will be vanquished. All that will be left is our soul and our spiritual investments stored up for us. And one of the greatest things about heaven is going to be approached by someone, and that someone is going to say, I'm in heaven because of your prayers. I'm in heaven because of your testimony. I'm in heaven because of your missions giving. That's going to be one of the wonderful things about heaven. Not only that, but heaven's a ready place. Verse 2 uses the word prepared. It takes a long time to get a bride ready. Hours for the dress and the hair and the makeup. And the Lord has spared no expense in getting heaven ready for us. R.G. Lee, that great Baptist preacher, said, heaven is the most marvelous place the wisdom of God could conceive and the power of God could prepare. Not only that, but heaven is a place of relationships. According to verse 3, this is what makes heaven heaven. If the streets were not gold, but if they were gravel, if the walls were particle board, not jasper, if mud was knee deep and weeds over our head, it would still be heaven because Jesus would be there. That's what makes heaven. Relationships, my friend, that's what makes heaven. If you're lost, that the thought of should terrify you, not just because you would go to a fiery hell, but that you would go to somewhere cut off from God for all eternity. Not only that, but heaven's a place of relief, according to verses 4 and verses 5. No more crying, no more sighing or dying, no more hospitals or graves. And Satan is not going to be able to have a passport. He'll be in the bottomless pit. All of the fallen angels will be chained up. There'll be no aging. There'll be no wrinkles. The fountain of youth will be there. Nothing's going to ruin. Nothing's going to rot. And nothing's going to rust. There'll be no thirsting. There'll be no hungering, no itching, no blindness, no deafness, no diabetes, no cancer, no heart attacks, no scars, no witchcraft, no drugs, no alcohol, no tobacco, no divorce, and no more pain. My brother was in great pain before he died. He fell in a nursing home. He broke his hip. After that, they fed him food that was too large for his ability to chew and eat the food, so he choked. And when he choked, they sent him to the emergency room and found that he had pneumonia. And so he passed away a few days after that. A friend, in heaven, there is no more pain. Amen? No more pain. Not only that, but heaven is a place of refreshing, according to verse 6. Have you ever been thirsty? Well, you don't want milk. You don't want soda. You don't want tea whenever you're thirsty. What you want is water. Water. On earth, we pursue happiness without really finding it. But in heaven, every righteous desire will be satisfied once and for all. Friendships, relationships, knowledge about God, perfect health, answers to questions, and especially that question, why? I once heard a person say in a church, he was a preacher, "People expect preachers to know everything." Well, let me tell you a secret. We don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't know. And God does a lot of things. And I don't know why He does them. But in heaven, friend, we're going to have the answers. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then in heaven, it's going to be altogether different. We're going to see things that we could not see in this life and in this world. Not only that, but heaven will be a restricted place, according to verse 8. Right in the middle of all these positive things in chapter 21 of Revelation, right in the middle of all of that, there is a verse stuck in here. It's kind of strange. You're reading along about all these wonderful things about heaven, and then you come to verse 8. And it seems like that should be over in some other part of the Bible, but it's not. It's over here in chapter 21. The whole chapter is concerning heaven. How wonderful it is. Stuck right in there is verse 8. And why does God give us this information here? Perhaps to show that sin, which has cursed and ultimately destroyed this world, will not be allowed to destroy the next world. Sin will not be allowed. Sin will be restricted. No entrance to sin. The fearful, never accepted Christ. Those who never accepted Christ, afraid to take a stand. The unbelieving, they didn't believe at all in Christ or the Bible. The abominable, not just sinful sinners, but those who have committed abominable sins. And so, from God's perspective, there is no difference between big and little sins, but God states what won't be there. And what are some of these abominations? And the word abomination, when you look that word up, it means detestable. There are some sins that are detestable to God. They're an abomination. Leviticus 18, verse 22 says homosexuality is an abomination. It's detestable to God. Deuteronomy 17, verse 3 says astrology and horoscopes are detestable to God. It's an abomination. Deuteronomy 18 says consulting a medium, fortune teller, or wizard, or communicating with the dead have committed an abomination. These things are detestable to God. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says cheating in business or giving a false balance. That's detestable to God. In the old days, they had a little bit of a problem with service stations that would set their pumps, the calibration on their pumps, so that when you went in to buy 10 gallons of gasoline, you actually would only get 9. Now, they caught on to that trick after a while, and so now we have state regulators who go around to all these places that pump gas. They check the pumps, and so you can be assured you're getting 10 gallons. But that's given a false balance. They're cheating in business. The Bible says that's detestable to God. Proverbs 12 tells us compulsive lying is an abomination. Some people lie when the truth would fit better. Does that remind you of anyone that you know? Proverbs 16, a heart full of pride is an abomination. Heaven is off limits to all these things. But don't miss this truth. If you miss this truth, you miss the whole thing. These sins and others like them can be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? People can still get saved and go to heaven if they repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Isn't that wonderful? And so, it's off limits to sin. The Bible says that murders, this would include all forms of homicide as well as infanticide. The true Supreme Court is not in Washington, D.C. The true Supreme Court is in heaven, my friend. It's already been decided. And whoremongers, addicts of sinful sex, premarital sex, extramarital sex, wrong gender, porno, etc., on and on. And sorcerers could mean witchcraft. And the deeper meaning of that is pharmakia, drugs, all liars, little ones as well as crafty liars. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But one of these days I'm going to get up a message on the buts of the Bible. That little word, but, that is a great word. But, old J. Frank Norris used to preach a message called, But God. But God. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so, heaven's a wonderful place, but not everyone is going to go there, sadly. I hope you're going to be there, friend. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And encourage everybody you know to do the same thing. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. I'm going to draw for you what heaven might look like. The Bible describes it as a city. And there's only one way to get there. One road. And we'll see that in a moment. Let's have all the lights out, please. Thank you. Let's all stand, please, every head bowed, just for a short time. Lights on, please. How about you, friend? Are you ready? If not, you can be ready. I trust in Christ as your Savior. This life goes by as just like a puff of vapor, the Bible says in James. It's like a puff of smoke on the universe. That's what your life is. That's what my life is. A very short time. Even if we were to live a long time, like 100 years, it would actually be only a very short time. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a young person who might say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me, preachers? Anybody like that? I want to include you in the prayer tonight. Anybody? Just lift up your hand. Put it right back down. Now, Father, we're grateful for your goodness, your mercy to us. We're thankful for another day of life that you've given to us. Help us to use our time wisely, keeping in mind that all these things we see around here in this world are only temporary. Help us to keep our mind on things that are eternal, things that are everlasting. We'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. We ask, amen. We're going to sing Just As I Am as we sing that song. It might be that you'd like to come and pray tonight or this afternoon. You'd just like to come and pray. You're welcome to come. Whatever your need, you come as we sing together Just As I Am without one plea. Come on, come on.
Just as I am without one plea. Shed for me, come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for the great promises of your word. Thank you for the great promise of heaven in the future. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you until we can receive that promise. I pray that by chance, if somebody is not saved, that they might see their need and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.